Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, what a Wednesday we have. There's a few things going on. Number one, congratulations to the New York Yankees, officially a postseason team, and with a real shot to win the American League East. We'll get to that in a short bit. Brian Daboll confirms what we've known for basically 36 hours, which is that it's the Jackson Dart era. We'll analyze what he had to say coming up. But last night, Tiki, it took 156 games. But last night, I can proudly tell you, the New York Mets finally had their put-it-on-the-DVD kind of moment.
Is this their first comeback? And it wasn't. Oh, did they have to do it in? It was the eighth inning. So it wasn't the ninth inning.
No, the comeback wasn't the ninth, eighth inning, or later variety. It was the down by five run variety.
Got it,
Which they hadn't done all year. But more than that,
it was everything come from behind.
It was everything.
They just never come from behind. And down 6-1, you thought it was over.
I think we all did. I think we all thought the season was over. And while they've had some good wins this year, some good wins, they haven't had that. And all year long, I've said it to you, they need a DVD win. And they got it last night. And I'm stunned. We're all stunned. We're all excited. The Mets recontrol their future. If they win their games, they make the playoffs. With all that said, I'd be lying to you at 2:03 on a Wednesday if I said, yeah, I'm confident the Mets are going to make the playoffs. I am still not confident.
What is it? Did it come up at least 10%?
Yes.
It's 10%.
My confidence meter, which yesterday was at about 1.5%,
yeah,
I'd say I'm at about 20%. Like, the Mets give me hope, and they should give us all hope, because to their credit last night, they were dead. They played the game awfully. David Peterson was a mess. He cannot pitch again. The defense was awful. Juan Soto can't judge a fly ball in right field. Don't tell me about the wind. Jeff McNeil made two awful throws. Pete Alonso doesn't have a cover first base. Like, it was everything that's bad about the New York Mets. And then it all changed.
Yes, because you have guys that are supposed to be mashing. Even Nimmo, who hit that was his 25th home run of the season, right? It's a career high.
And 91 RBIs.
And 91. He's having a bad season, but he came through when it mattered. And ultimately, isn't that what matters? The guys who you expected at the beginning of the season to be the bats that were going to make a difference in moments. And collectively, really, is, I think, the bigger issue. Because individually, as we talked about yesterday, Lindor's having a pretty damn good season. He's about to go 30-30. Juan Soto, he might go 40-40 this year. Pete Alonso, he was the savior early, and he's been, even though he had a little slump, he's actually been okay of late. It feels like they're great individually, but not good as a team. Last night, they were good as a team.
Oh, they were.
And that's what it's going to take for them and to push into the postseason. Because while it feels great, they're still not there yet.
They got a lot of work to do. Yes. And I think that's what the scary part is. Like, it's very difficult to win a game in which your starter gets knocked out in the second inning, giving up five runs. It's very difficult to win a game in which your defense, you know what's all over itself in the first four innings of a game. To their credit, they showed fight. There are a lot of times this season this team did not show fight. Mm. There were a lot of times this season in which we looked at them and said they're playing like they're gutless.
Right.
They weren't gutless last night. And it starts with a break. Like, sometimes things start with luck. When Cade Horton came out of this game after three innings, and at the moment, I didn't know if it was an injury or not. I was thinking we were witnessing a Peyton Manning, Curtis Painter situation all over again. It turned out to be a back issue. That's a break. But when you get a break, you got to take advantage of it.
You got to hit Michael Soroka, who they didn't do in their first inning of work. Then you need another break. Mets played bad defense. Cubs are playing good defense. How about a mistake by old friend Dansby Swanson? Mm. And even though you get that break, you then have to take advantage of it. And between Juan Soto's four-pitch walk, between Alonso just missing a home run off the top of the fence, and then obviously Brandon Nimmo's three-run home run to tie it, and obviously Lindor coming through multiple times, and Alvarez hitting the biggest home run of his life, the Mets responded. And I am very happy about that, but I'm not delusional. That's the thing I've learned being a Met fan and watching this team all year. I am happy. I am excited. It's great to know that if the Mets win their games, they make the playoffs. But honestly, Tiki Barber, you are the IBO-est of IBO-est.
Yes.
We all have biases around here. Sean hates the Mets. Tommy is, like, incredibly high. I try to be fair. You are the IBO-est of IBOs. Tiki Barber, even after last night.
Yes.
Are the Mets making the playoffs?
I'm going to say yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been too emotional of a season. And I'm talking about the positives and the negatives. I'm talking about from our WFAN fan base to the Mets chat fan base. It has been up and down an emotional roller coaster for this Mets team. And you hate them some days. You love them other days. You're excited for the future. You wish the past would be buried. It's been literally everything this year. And so to end it in a whimper and just to be sitting at home in October doesn't feel right. There has to be some other cap on it. So that cap has to happen in the postseason. So I'm saying, yes, they are making
I appreciate your optimism. Here's what scares me. They've got five games left. They're all on the road, and they're against two really dangerous teams. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Cubs, who are now on a five-game losing streak, need to get a win just to ensure they host the wild card.
Or they could just be on a losing streak that they can't help and get out of.
That's possible.
It's happened.
Very possible.
The
okay.
Mets lost eight in a row.
You're right. That is possible. Then the Mets go to Miami, who's one of the hottest teams in baseball right now, and have a history of sticking it to the Mets, not even just in 2007 and 2008, but earlier this year.
Yes.
When they won three out of four games against the Mets. I am having a tough time trusting this team. And the truth is, and I think I speak for a lot of Met fans when I say this, we want to be wrong, but they got to earn our trust. Last night was a great step towards doing so. The fight that they showed, the way they came back, even the aggressiveness of this manager, who is certainly not perfect, by not messing around and saying, Edwin Diaz, here's the baseball, take us home.
Right.
That is a big step in getting into the right direction. But the bottom line is this, I cannot trust the Diamondbacks to lose. Despite who they're playing, look what they did last night, coming back on the Dodgers. I can't even trust the Reds to lose, despite them putting up an egg last night against Pittsburgh. So the Mets have to take care of business. To me, it's very simple. Win these five games, put everyone out of their misery, and let's go. I can't trust that they're going to do that. But I'll tell you one guy I do trust, and one guy who deserves all the praise in the world on this Wednesday afternoon, and sometimes I don't think we respect him enough. Sometimes I don't think we give him enough praise. And I think the reason he doesn't get enough praise is because nobody ever is going to be Mariano Rivera, and we all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But there has not been a closer in this town, outside of Mariano, because he's the GOAT, who is as dominant and honestly as trustworthy as Edwin Diaz. Look, Edwin Diaz may end up blowing a big save. He could blow a game tomorrow. I don't know. But here's what I know about him. The moment won't do him in. The moment did Aroldis Chapman in. The moment did Armando Benitez in.
Right.
The moment has done everybody in not named Mariano Rivera. And what this guy did last night by coming into a two-run game against the heart of the Cubs order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and striking out 5 out of 6 guys, not putting a man on base, not even making a sweat in the midst of that inning. That's what legends are made of.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
So I know it's the regular season. It's game 157. Pipe down, Evan. All right, I'm piping down. All I know is that the Mets are here today with the future in their hands because Edwin Diaz has you-know-whats the size of grapefruits. That's my closer.
I like it.
That's my closer. And you know
Look, all you can do is ask him to do the job that he was paid to do, and he does it extraordinarily well. What does he have this year? Three blown saves?
Three blown saves, yes.
That's it.
He's not perfect.
No, of course not. But for the most part, he's been pretty damn good.
But the key is, here's the thing about closers. Closers are going to blow saves. Mm-hmm. Like, Edwin Diaz, before anyone uses this against me, could blow a save tomorrow night. He could blow a game against Miami. It may come at the worst time. He blew a game against the Phillies in the playoffs last year. No one's saying he's perfect. What I am saying is that the moment never gets to him. Like, if he blows a save, it's going to be because he can't control his slider. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to be because he just doesn't have his stuff. What he did last night was ridiculously good. And now, let us hope that the Mets aren't teasing us the way they did in 2007 when John Main almost threw a no-hitter on a Saturday. They're not teasing us the way Johan Santana and the Mets did on the following year's Saturday. Let's hope this leads to something. Mm-hmm. But a couple of things that need to be taken care of. Number one, David Peterson. Thank you, David. You had a wonderful first half. You were an all-star. Please return your card key and go home. Like, they can't pitch Peterson again.
But what else are you doing? You're just throwing the kids out there? What, you're doing the piggyback, the Clay Holmes and the Sean Manaea piggyback, and then the three kids? Is that the idea?
Well, I think you've got three options. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you the options because I'm not just going to say David Peterson's things, get rid of him, and not offer you a solution. So obviously the next 4 days are taken care of. Jonah Tong is going to pitch tonight. Mm-hmm. Nolan McClain is going to pitch Thursday. Brandon Sproat is going to pitch Friday. And then you have Holmes and Manaea ready for the tag team on Saturday.
So he needs a tag team.
Well, there's three options. That's one of them. I mean, absolutely. David Peterson can be a part of a tag team.
If you're going to look at the situation that was created with Clay Holmes, because obviously he had never been a starting pitcher. He is a starting pitcher for the first time this year. He's way up in innings that he's never even sniffed as a reliever. And you realize at some point he just gets fatigued, tired, worn out. It's a long-ass season. He made, 30 starts? Clay Holmes, whatever the number is or is going to be. You need to piggyback him.
Yes.
David Peterson's not that much different.
I think it's on the table.
121 innings was the most he'd ever pitched.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's with 168.
As much as I'm done with David Peterson, the only thing I'd be open to is involving him in a piggyback.
With whom is the question?
Well, I think naturally it would be with either Clay Holmes or with Kodai Senga, who is still existing. Like, he's still on the planet. I know he's down in Florida throwing bullpens.
How's he doing down in Florida?
He's throwing bullpens down in Florida.
I know, but how is he doing?
How's he doing in a bullpen?
Yes.
I mean,
there's got to be some intel. His bullpens look good.
Yeah.
His bullpens look like, I don't know, crap. Who knows?
Well, here are the options.
Don't you need to know that before you make a decision?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know it, though, so I can pretend like I do. I have no idea. He's throwing bullpens. Option number one is David Peterson is involved in some kind of tag team with Clay Holmes or Kodai Senga. Option number two is no more tag teams. Mm-hmm. You split up Clay Holmes and Sean Manaea. You give Clay Holmes a regular Saturday start. You use your bullpen aggressively, and Sean Manaea takes the ball on Sunday. The other option is Kodai Senga. So those are the options, and I'm not suggesting any of them are good. The one thing I know, and it was confirmed last night, and it's been confirmed over the last 2 months, is that David Peterson can't literally go out there and start a baseball game like a traditional starter. He's a disaster right now. And the reason he's a disaster, we could argue. Is it him hitting his innings? Is the hip bothering him again? I have no idea. All I know is you can't pitch him. So those are the options. Which one would you go with?
I would piggyback him.
Okay.
Tag team him.
With Clay Holmes or Kodai Senga?
I kind of like the Clay Holmes, Sean Manaea piggyback. I know it only worked one time.
It worked twice.
They just didn't
score on Sunday.
Right. True. But it didn't feel like it was as effective as it was at the game we were at.
Right.
Clay went first and then Manaea backed him
up. That's because they scored like seven runs in the first three innings.
This is true, but just from a pure pitching standpoint, it didn't feel the same. I would probably say with Senga, even though I don't trust Senga.
Well, I don't think we trust anybody, but I think that's the predicament they're in.
The question is, Do you want Singa or Peterson to start the game? That's the challenge. I think with Clay Holmes, I can trust Clay Holmes to start a game. I don't know.
Well, here's
so
the
that's why I want Clay Holmes to go first. It's not necessarily about how bad or good the Mets hit. It was who do you trust to start the game?
Right.
Clay's fine. The narrative for me in my mind on him is that by four or five innings, he's shot.
No, absolutely.
So bring in the piggyback right afterwards. I can't do that with Kodai, and I don't think now I can do it with David Peterson. So David needs to be the back end of the piggyback, but I don't know who this front end is.
Yeah, I think I would lean towards a Clay Holmes, David Peterson piggyback on Saturday, and Sean Manaea getting a regular start on Sunday.
Yeah,
either way,
if he gets just crushed.
But what if what? I mean, I don't know. These are the options that you have. I'm not saying any of them are good. Here's what I know: the next 3 days, the kids are on the mound. The kids have given you mostly good results. We know Jonah Tong had the disaster against DeGrom, but he bounced back in a very good way. Nolan McLean has been wonderful for the most part. Brandon Sproat the day after that. But if the Mets are going to win these five games, and that ensures you a playoff spot, what we saw offensively yesterday, what we saw from parts of the bullpen yesterday, not all of it, because Tyler Rogers was a disaster, is they're going to have to hit. And can they hit enough over these 5 days to make the postseason? Remember yesterday late in the show, I put a poll out on social media. It was a very simple question. I said, will the Mets make the playoffs? And it was 74% no, 26% yes, which I think represented a very accurate kind of pool of Met fans. That was the negativity going into last night. After they came back and won, I put the exact same poll up. What do you think the results are now on will the Mets make the playoffs?
60% say yes.
Not quite that.
But much better?
It's much better than yesterday, but it's still 53% no, 47% say yes.
Okay.
So I think a few Met fans moved a little bit based on last night, but I think the majority of people still have that fear. While yesterday was an incredible victory and absolutely qualifies as one of those DVD kind of wins, they got to do it five more times.
Yeah.
And they can't do it by having their defense play as badly as it's had over the last five games. They can't do it with their starting pitching getting knocked out in the second inning. They can't do it that way. They can't do it on relying on the Chicago Cubs starter to come out after three innings because he has back spasms. So I loved last night's win. And that win is either going to live in Met history if they go on and make the playoffs and go on a run, or it's going to be a fart in the wind. They got five games to determine that. But as a diehard fan, I still don't trust them. They have to continue to earn that from me and just about everybody else.
Of course. That just comes by winning. The only thing you can do is win. Nothing else matters. Just find ways to win.
Now, I want you to be honest with me.
Yes.
I'm never going to shut the game off. Tommy's never going to shut the game off. But it's 6-1. Did Tiki Barber say, this game is over? Why am I wasting my time?
Yeah. And I didn't come back to it until the Mets chat.
What?
Implored me to come back to it.
It was us?
Yes. Dude, the Met chat was so depressive.
Yes, it was very depressive.
And I don't know. I hate this team. We suck. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow. I was like, oh, wait, what happened? So then I turned it back on.
I think there was a quote, "Gut this gutless team,"
yes.
Was actually a legitimate quote. So you check, because here's the thing. I think a lot of Met fans last night at 6-1. Based on the disgust of the bad defense, based on David Peterson being an abomination, based on the offense doing nothing in the first four innings other than a Lindor tone-setting home run, except it set no tone, I think a lot of Met fans shut the TV off, too.
I mean...
Rich Ackerman, who does updates, admitted he shut it off.
It was hard to imagine them coming back.
No kidding.
And so when they did, it got exciting.
Did you shut it off, Sean?
No. But it was also because I wanted to see how much more pain was going to get inflicted.
That was a different way of viewing it.
Yeah, yes. But would it have mattered? If they had lost 12-1, would it have mattered?
Kind of. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be honest with the audience. The moment Soto butchered that ball earlier, I was all in for the ride. I really thought it was going to get ugly.
And you know what? I don't blame you. And I don't blame the Yankee fans who want to enjoy that pain. I was pissed at Soto. I don't want to hear about the wind. Right. I don't want to hear about it. You got to make that play.
You know what it felt like? When I saw him waffling around there doing the top spin top, I thought of a punt returner.
Yes.
Because he was lazy to the spot. I was like, get to the spot.
Yeah.
Like, get there and then find it. Don't find it while drifting around. You're never going to catch it.
Yeah.
And exactly what happened.
Oh, it was brutal.
It was so bad.
It was, sometimes.
But that's really the worst I've seen him.
Yeah, no,
I don't know if I've seen that.
I don't think Juan Soto's had a bad defensive year, but what I know is when there are bad moments,
right,
they are highlighted.
Yeah, they look bad.
That guy, and that's the story of Juan Soto and the kind of the microscope he's going to be under. Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't had a bad defensive year in right field. I've been watching every inning. I'm not saying he's Roberto Clemente,
right,
but he hasn't been bad. But when there have been bad moments, it's circled and it's highlighted. And the other thing about that moment last night is it was a horrible tone setter.
It was.
Like, if Soto makes that catch, David Peterson is out of the inning. And I'm not telling you the game plays out completely differently. Peterson probably still implodes. Maybe Mendy even leaves him in the game longer and it gets worse. But he was out of the inning.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a bad play that Yankee fans can make fun of. It was an impactful play.
Yeah, and if you're somebody who's ever sat down to watch a TV show or movie with, like, your wife or something, and you're like, I don't know if I really want to watch this, but then there's a scene 5 minutes in that you're like, whoa, I'm captivated. That's what that was for anybody who's not a Met fan last night. You were in for the night.
No, I got you. And honestly, watching this game, I expected it to get worse. Tommy, did you hang up on the game, or were you hanging in there with that positivity of, hey, they'll come back?
Of course. I watched every single pitch, and I had you in mind, my friend, for a couple reasons. Number one, I know your bank account took a hit last night.
Big time.
You donated in not only the Met game, be honest, you donated in that Reds game as well.
The big mistake I made financially with my emotional insurance is I lost on the Reds game, great. I lost on the Mets game, great. I didn't make bets on Dodgers Diamondbacks, which was a huge mistake.
Well, you were recording the Rico Bronya, I would imagine, during the conclusion of that game where the Diamondbacks scored 2 runs in the 9th inning. Is that a fair assessment?
No. I could have still made the bet.
Here's what I would say. Last night, as a sports fan, that's everything that you love about sports. You got to see everything in that game, and you got to. And even Shawnee brought it up. You saw that first scene where the Yankee fans are circling, and the highlights of the Soto botch are on the internet, and everybody's having a good time. I'm getting hit up by Yankee fans. How's your night going? It went great because the finish to the movie went in our favor. So it was just the beauty of sports last night.
The only thing I'll disagree with you on is, I didn't have fun last night. Like,
you didn't have fun the way they came back?
Well, when they came back, yes. Absolutely. Like, the rally in the 5th inning, the magic of it, taking advantage of a Swanson error of all people, considering he'll be a Brave for life, Nimmo's home run, the Alonzo, like, absolutely. And then the way they took the lead, blew the lead, got the lead back, and obviously won the game. But I hated the first 4 innings. Again, it made me think about never watching sports again.
But everybody,
I didn't like that part.
But everybody has asked for fight all season long, and they fought last night.
No, I love that they showed fight, but I'm not going to say I enjoyed the 3 hours. I had a miserable time for 3 hours. I mean, there were some good moments, like them winning, but for the most part, I think most of us were miserable for the first half of the game. And then even when they tied the game and they took the lead in the 6th inning, when they immediately give it back with Tyler Rogers giving up a ball that was hit 5,000 miles per hour and the game was tied, I think we all thought they're going to find a way to lose. All they did was suck us in to just kick us down low, which they've done a lot this year. They've had a lot of great comebacks. I keep thinking back to that Saturday night game against the Nationals 5 days ago. What a great comeback.
Right.
What a great comeback. They're down by 3 in the 8th. They rally. Soto. Oh, amazing. What happened? Nimmo strikes out with the bases loaded. Cedric Mullins can't field a freaking fly ball. And they lose. So in the 7th inning, and really until Alvarez hit the home run, I was just expecting doom. Now, when Alvarez hit the home run, my confidence was gained because of Edwin. Because there is a faith that this closer is going to find a way. But it wasn't an enjoyable night. And I got newsflash for everybody. It ain't going to be an enjoyable 5 days. Now, we'll see if the 5 days can end being enjoyable. But there's going to be a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And let me tell you something else. Relying on the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Los Angeles Dodgers should be illegal. Because,
why?
Because relying on a crappy team, even when they win, sucks. Relying on a great team when they blow a lead in the 9th inning, that sucks even more. Like, it is not fun sitting there having to rely on other people. At least with the Yankees last night, yes, you were relying on the Red Sox and they did it for you. But you also knew, all right, if they don't get the job done,
it's also
no biggie.
Good for you.
Yes. Like, we'll
because see. Because then at least you'll have the wild card at home field advantage in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, like, no matter what happened in the Blue Jays and the Red Sox, it was going to work out for the as long as they won.
You want the Red Sox to help you, but you're not relying on them for your lives. The Mets last night, and to a degree the next few days, especially if they lose a game or two or three, are going to have to rely on other people. I hate relying on other people. I hate it. I asked Sean to cut a clip. I hate it. I'd rather cut the clip myself. I don't like relying on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Not to say you're the Pittsburgh Pirates,
yeah.
Sean.
Did I find that clip, Evan?
You did a great job.
Okay.
You did a great job. By the way, the clip that I found, and it is so unrelated, but I need to get this off my chest. I can't believe. Do you have the clip ready? Please give it to Tommy right now.
Okay.
We'll get to your Met calls in a second. Calm down. 888-808-1019.
It's about the clip you asked me before the show.
Yes.
Call?
You have that one?
That's so unrelated to what we're talking
about
right now?
I need to bring it up right now because I think it's hilarious.
All right. Just put me up, Tommy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. You remember how the Giants benched Russell Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that, Tiki?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So they benched Russell Wilson to start Jackson Dart. And all I could think about last night after the baseball was out of my mind was when Brian Daboll revealed in April that he wasted his entire life watching nothing but Russell Wilson plays throughout his entire career. Take a listen.
I've watched every play of his since 2012.
All right, stop right there. I watched every play of his since 2012. Can anyone out there name a bigger waste of time than what Brian Daboll actually did this offseason?
He's just working hard.
Come on.
The problem is watching all those plays, especially the last 4 years. What made you want to sign him?
That's a good question, too. We'll get to the Jackson Dart decision and what Daboll had to say about that coming up. Plus, the Yankees clinching a playoff spot and why Brian Cashman deserves flowers. We got a lot to do on this very busy Wednesday, 888-808-1019. Just to put in perspective how brilliant Edwin Diaz was, that's his third six-out save of the year. He has five in his major league career in the regular season. The great Mariano Rivera had eight. So you'd say, wow, Edwin's going to catch him. The problem is Mariano Rivera had 14 in the postseason, which is why he's a legend, which is why he's the greatest of all time. But in none of those two winning saves that Mariano got, none of them were as dominant in terms of strikeouts as what Diaz did last night. Mariano never struck out five guys in a six-out save. And that's not, again, to say Diaz is better. No one will ever be better. He's the greatest of all time. But it's a compliment to what Edwin pulled off last night, right, that it was so impressive. And much like what Rivera did, though in October, it happened in such an important moment.
Right. And it's great when you have your star players, the guys who you've depended upon, who you count on to actually come through in moments. That's what greatness is all about.
No doubt.
It's what the fan, it's the only thing the fan wants, is for the players who are supposed to be great are great when they need to be.
And last night, and I understand Diaz can have some bad moments before it's all said and done. He may. That's what closers do. But last night was one of those nights in which when I watched him walk off the mound, I did say to myself, that man can never wear another uniform. And he will be a free agent at the end of the year. It'll be one of the big decisions the Mets will have to make. And I think the decision is very easy. You make sure that Edwin Diaz never wears another uniform. And I can't believe I'm saying that considering how it started with him in 2019 when we were running the poor guy out of town. But we'll get to the Yankees in a few minutes. They're officially going to the postseason, and we'll hear from both Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll on the big decision as a new era begins in Giants football. But let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Matt in East Islip leads it off. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Evan. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to talk about two things. The first one is about the Mets center field, but the bigger one is Jeremy Hefner. This guy went on radio podcast tours. I mean, he was God's gift to pitching last year in his pitching lab. And now this guy can't figure anybody out. Kodai Senga's in the minor leagues. David Peterson is the highest ERA in baseball since the trade deadline. I mean, Frankie Montas was terrible before he got hurt. He can't seem to figure anybody out. Helsley was horrible since he's been here. And Jose Budo gets traded to San Francisco as a throw-in, and he's been fantastic helping them down the stretch. And then, you know, on the center field situation, Drew Gilbert has outperformed the bundle of guys we've been throwing out there in center field, and David Stearns never gave him a look. I mean, I don't know what these guys are doing.
Well, let's stick with Hefner for a second. If the Mets don't make the playoffs, there's going to be some kind of major change. And we could sit here and guess what it is. Is it the manager? Is it breaking up the core? I don't know, but I think you laid out some pretty good reasons why the major change may be the pitching coach. Because 2025 has been a disaster. They went from being one of the best rotations in baseball, overachieving like no one's ever seen in the middle of May,
right,
to putting up some of the worst kind of going backwards performances that you'll ever see. Between Senga, between Peterson, it's almost unexplainable bad it's gotten.
Yeah, but how much of that is on him or is it on the players themselves?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Because you think about it, with David Peterson, he's never been a 30-start guy in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes has never been a starter in Major League Baseball. Kodai Senga's had multiple injuries over the last couple of years, and you're dependent upon some really young arms to try to figure this thing out. I hear you. It's easy to go blame when you get tired of blaming the player. To blame the next level up. So the coach, and if it's not the coach, and it'll be the general manager, and if it's not the general manager, it'll be the owner. It's just how it works in sports fandom. I think that's stupid.
Of course.
Because ultimately, it's on the guy in the arena. It's on the player. And if he's not performing, ultimately, you get rid of that guy.
See, here's what sucks about this. You're 100% right. I agree with you. It's mostly on the players.
Especially when you look at what he did over the last couple of years.
You're right, but when there's a failure, and we all agree the Mets missing the playoffs would be a colossal failure, heads roll. And sometimes those heads aren't fair. But I think what he laid out, even if it isn't his fault, because there's no way to say it's his fault or say it's not his fault. I have no idea. All I know is their pitching's gone backwards. You want to blame it on each individual? Fine. You want to say Jeremy Hefner's not waving the magic wand anymore? Fine. All I know is when there are failures, big changes usually happen right after. Kendrick is insufferable. Hey, Kendrick.
Evan, Tiki, Evan, I got to ask you, you were talking about the rotation. Do you know who's going to pitch game 162?
Well, right now it would be
Peterson. It doesn't matter who's going to pitch game 162 because it's not going to matter, Evan. We are now in the driver's seat. And no matter how many guys that go to Citi Field or tune into SNY claiming that they're Mets fans and they're still scared, and all they want to do is look at the negative. We only have had one night of sleep where we haven't controlled our destiny this whole season. And when we woke up from that one night, we took care of business. And speaking of going to bed, Evan, last year I called and asked you if you slept with the nightlight because all you talked about with the final week and the season looming were the demons and skeletons in Atlanta. And
I'm a baby.
Here we are a year later, and I can already sense that you plugged back in that nightlight. Thinking of the ghosts of Shea Stadium that were buried on that last day the Mets played there. So I already know where you're going to take this, and that's why I am telling you, you need to take PTO, Positive Tommy Outlook.
Positive
down
Tommy.
Down to Miami this weekend and have a different mindset, because what Alvarez did last night, he's breaking fingers and hitting dingers.
That's a 23-year-old
stud who is going to help lead us to the playoffs, Evan. I do not need to hear any negativity about a pitching coach, a hitting coach, or anything that is in the past, because we now control our
destiny. But Kendrick, you know what my attitude proves? And not just me, because I think I represent a lot of Met fans who don't believe right now in this team, overcoming 3 months of bad baseball. You know what this proves? I think back to last year, and I think it was after they beat the Phillies. David Stearns and Steve Cohen were in the locker room and champagne was flying, and Steve had that famous line that I'm sure we have somewhere in the system buried, where Steve said, I want to change the perception that Met fans have about us. I want to change the negativity. He said that.
Right.
And it's a great line, and I wish someday that happens. What this proves, the way I feel and the way Met fans feels, proves they got more work to do. That's what it proves. It's not my fault. I don't blame myself. We shouldn't blame ourselves. The Mets had a great run last year. That was never going to be enough to just eliminate the past and how we feel about things. You know what does it? What the Yankees proceed to do every single freaking year. And before you hijack it with, well, what, losing the playoffs? That's not what I'm talking about, Sean. I'm talking about getting there. I'm talking about telling their fan base, hey, 9 out of 10 times, we're going to be there. You may be mad in June and July, but at the end of the day, we're going to be there. And what have they done over the last 25 years? Gotten there time after time after time. So when the Mets start to prove that, Steve, then we'll believe. But I don't feel bad about being honest how I feel about this team right now. I hope I'm wrong. And the more times I'm wrong, and the more times Frank the Tank is wrong, and the more times negative Met fans are wrong, eventually we'll come around. You earn positivity. It isn't just handed to you.
Of course.
Thank you.
Get into the postseason. That's all it is about. And that's for the last 5 games of the season, that's all it's about for the Mets. And if you get there consecutively, then you do it again the next year, then people will stop having the negativity, Steve Cohen. But at this point, it's not on Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen's done all he can
no,
do.
No, I'm not ripping Steve for the way he built the
either.
Team.
I'm not answering
the comment from last year.
I'm not saying you are. I just know that people like to push the rock uphill. Ultimately, if the base isn't right, that is the player is not right, or they can't play together as a team, or there's a locker room issue, or there's, for whatever reason, failure at every single starting pitcher in the rotation, then that's not on Steve Cohen.
No.
It's on the player.
But I will learn to believe when you make it so impossible to not believe. So if the Mets win the next 5 games, what a statement that would be, by the way. Finishing 6-0 on the road after only having one winning road trip this entire season, that'd be a damn statement, all right? I think that would go a long ways in changing all of our views. Because I think the negativity around this team right now is based on the way they've played for 3 months. And sure, the history is a big part of it, fair or not, but it's the way they've played over the last 3 months. Let's go to Brandon in Jersey. What's up, Brandon?
Yeah, hi, Evan and Tiki. How are you today?
Good.
Good. What's up, man?
Good. Good. Long time, first time since the Mike Francesa had Mad Dog days, but I'm calling back after a while. I wanted to go over two things. Yeah. So I wanted to go over two things. I wanted to go over the Mets lineup and basically what they should be presenting going forward. And not only that, but also basically the playoff pitching rotation. So I think we should do this way. We should go Lindor, Soto, Nimmo, Alonso. I like Marte's bat, so I would slot him more frequently. Vientos, McNeil, Beatty, and then the combination of Alvarez and Torrens. I really don't think you're getting much from Mullins. You're not getting anything from Siri, and Taylor's come back off an injury, I think, today. It might be activated. I'm not sure about that. And as far as for the speed and defensive substitutions at the end of the games, I would put probably Mauricio and Acuna, just to give us a little more base pass speed.
I think the lineup that you laid out, and think about it, it's basically the lineup they put out last night. The only qualms I had was defensively, playing Brandon Nimmo in center field for basically the first time all year as a starter. But I completely agree that the 9 guys, now how you line it up defensively, we can quarrel about, but the 9 guys, their best offensive lineup is Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Vientos, Beatty, Marte, McNeil, and Alvarez. Now, the Torrens issue is this. Francisco Alvarez hit a big home run last night. I mean, the biggest home run of his career. Defensively, he hurt them early in this game. There's no denying that. There were 2 stolen bases in which he was either too busy trying to pitch frame or too busy begging for a check swing call. Luis Torrens is back there. Both those guys may be thrown out.
Yeah.
And that leads to a scoreless inning. So I think Torrens is a little different because he's such a plus defensively. But all those other guys you mentioned, that is clearly their best offensive lineup. Clearly.
Yeah.
How you line it up defensively, that's for Mendy to kind of figure out. And Nimmo really only had one play. It was a little blooper that he made a diving attempt at. It was a relatively tough play. I think Tyrone Taylor being healthy changes it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I know, and you know, and we all know, Jose Siri and Cedric Mullins can't play.
It seems like they're not going to now.
Late for defense, fine, but not like to start games. Andrew in Lawrence, New York. Andrew.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me. I have 2 points. So you were talking about the Jets before. It seemed like if you did like an emotional comparison to the Jet game and the Met game last night, they were pretty neck and neck. And Evan, this question is more for you. Like, I'm a Jets fan my whole life, a Met fan my whole life. What do you think is worse emotionally? Like, just from the heartaches from both teams? If you had to compare one.
Oh, man. It's tough because over the last 15 years, the Jets haven't given us heartache. They just embarrass us. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the heartache?
I mean, they did get to the postseason in deep a couple of years. But
who? The Jets?
Yeah, but
that was 15 years ago.
It feels like forever ago.
But it was.
I know.
It was literally 15 years ago.
Right.
So, since then at least, what big game have they lost? Buffalo Week 17, 2015. Bro, that's it.
I don't think they've been in big games.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. Like,
I mean, there have been big games, but because of how the season played out, they've been ultimately forgettable games.
Which is why, like, the Mets have caused more pain because they got to a World Series. They were in the playoffs in 22. They were in the playoffs in 24. Now, I'd rather my teams be relevant and be playing meaningful games, but I think the last decade and a half, comparing the Mets and the Jets, they're just so different because as much as we killed the Mets, they've had good years. And they've had painful losses.
Right.
The Jets, I mean, think about 15 years. What are their painful losses? It's Victor Cruz is still running, which you guys love.
But Ian, that was a long time ago.
That was 14 years ago.
Right.
If we're doing the math. The final week against Buffalo in Todd Bowles' first year. Bro, that's 10 years ago. And then, honestly, Aaron Rodgers, that's probably the one. Aaron Rodgers tearing his Achilles.
Yeah. Those last two, the one where you just miss out and then on the playoffs, even though you had a successful season, and then Aaron Rodgers destroying anybody's hope for where you thought that season was going 2 years ago.
So
those are the two disappointing moments.
So we have two disappointing moments
but they're not anything. It's not like, oh, we could have won a championship that year.
Right.
It's not even close to that.
Now, what's far different is my childhood, or at least my younger years, it was flip-flopped because the Jets had a brutal loss at the end of 97. They lost horribly in the AFC Championship game in 98. We know about Vinny in 99. Like, and it goes on and on. Doug Bryan in 2004. Like, there was so much of it. And the Mets had a little bit, obviously, 98, 99, 2000. But the Jets were consistently there. Like, made the playoffs in 06. Made the playoffs in 9 and 10. But over the last 15 years, I mean, it's just, it's not comparable. And I know the majority of this city is Knicks fans, so I think this comp works. It's the Knicks between 2001 and the Jalen Brunson era. Like, you had two decades of saying, what were your bad losses? You sucked. There were no bad, Stoudemire breaking his hand on a fire extinguisher? You guys had no chance of that series anyway. Like, I think when you're so bad for so long, there's just so much less of it. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. We'll mix in the Yankees as well, who clinched the playoff spot. But when we come back, we were going to hear from both Brian Daboll, Jackson Dart, and Russell Wilson. What did everybody have to say after the major quarterback change was officially announced?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.